In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Give the King your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the King's Son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper.
He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy.
He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight.
And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised.
There will be an abundance of grain in the earth, on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth.
His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things.
And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen in the east went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Matthew 2:11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the little child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Did you ever see the film, The Nativity Story? It came out in theaters in 2006. And I think it's one of the very best films based on a biblical narrative I've ever seen. There's a part of it near the end of the film when the wise men finally make it to Bethlehem to visit the infant Jesus, and they bow before him. And one of the wise men reverently acclaims him as God made into flesh. And as they present their gifts to the baby, one says, "Gold for the King of Kings." The next says, "Frankincense for the priest of all priests." And then with a solemn pause, the third wise man says, "The gift of myrrh to honor the sacrifice." Now that is some pretty awesome stuff, considering it comes out of the motion picture industry, which normally has very little use for our Lord Jesus other than to blaspheme him or to misuse his name. Now we all realize no such words from the wise men are actually recorded in the Bible. And yet, over the centuries, believers in Jesus have recognized a symbolic significance in their gifts. To what extent the wise men actually understood or intended that, we're not sure. But their gifts certainly were perfectly suited for a baby, that baby, bearing silent witness to who Jesus is and what he came to do. And in this way, their gifts extolled him as the true gift. The first one mentioned, of course, was gold, a precious metal. Very beautiful, very expensive. Gold is a gift well suited for a king, which, of course, points to Jesus as such. He's king. We know for sure the wise men understood that about Jesus, because when they came to Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And Herod, together with the wise, or with the chief priests and the scribes, confirmed that royal identity as they perceived these men have to be searching for the Christ, the anointed one. And Christ was to be anointed for his threefold office, including as king. And they clearly understood that because they quoted the Bethlehem prophecy from Micah concerning Christ. "From you, O Bethlehem, shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So everybody involved knew the search was all about a king. So it's no wonder the wise men brought gold. Next, they presented the gift of frankincense. This, too, was a costly gift. Yet it had an even greater significance than just its expense. Frankincense was used in the worship of God. So, of course, that gift extolled the baby Jesus as God. Frankincense was a key ingredient in the fragrant incense the priests burned in the holy place of the tabernacle. That incense was strictly to be set apart for use in worship of the Lord. And even though its fragrance was so pleasant, people might be tempted to use it in the home for ordinary enjoyment. God clearly instructed the Israelites, don't do that. The incense was to be used exclusively for the worship of God because it was symbolic of prayer. You can picture that as the smoke arose from the burning incense as a pleasing aroma. So prayers rise from God's people heavenward as a pleasing fruit of faith. And since prayers are offered to God only, the incense was to be for God only. And again, it's a little wonder that the wise men brought that gift of frankincense, for somehow they had come to understand the infant king of the Jews they were seeking truly was God. That's why they announced their intention in Jerusalem, we have come to worship him. And when they actually found Jesus in the house in Bethlehem, that's exactly what they did. They fell down and worshiped him. The wise man in the movie had it just right, didn't he? Jesus truly is God in flesh. And then finally, there was the gift of myrrh. Once again, a costly gift with rich significance. Myrrh is an aromatic gum from a tree, and they used it to make very expensive perfumes, including those that were used to prepare the bodies of the dead for burial. And so the gift of myrrh pointed forward to Jesus' impending death and burial. Now, in this case, we don't know how much the wise men understood. Were they familiar with the sacred scriptures that foretold how the promised King of the Jews was going to suffer and die and be buried for the sins of his people? We just don't know. Did they know the ancient psalm that prophesied how the King who is God was going to have garments scented with myrrh? We simply aren't told. But whether they understood it or not, they brought a gift that was perfectly fitting for the baby who was born for that very purpose, to sacrifice himself for the life of the world, the one who truly would be the sacrifice. Now, Christians, as we ponder these gifts of the wise men and the way that they extol Jesus as King and God and sacrifice, we are reinforced in our understanding and appreciation that he who received these precious gifts is himself the true gift. Pretty easy to understand that, isn't it? I mean, Jesus truly is King, but not a worldly one. He's the kind of King we really need. He's the ruler of the universe, controlling all things. Well, Psalm 72, which is the psalm from which our intro it was taken, describes the reign of the coming Messiah, and it includes how kings were going to fall down before him and offer him gifts of gold. It's one of the reasons that psalm's appointed for Epiphany. But it also tells how Christ would have dominion from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. And we know that universal reign of Jesus is always for our blessing. And whenever our lives seem out of control, sometimes they do, when troubles are piling up faster than we think we can handle them, what a relieving reassurance it is. What a great comfort to know Jesus is King. He has things under control. As a king, Jesus is our perfect protector. Again, from the psalm, he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. Here we are, poor, sinful mortals, weak and vulnerable, helpless against death and the devil. We need powerful help. And with Jesus as our king, we have a mighty protector and rescuer. And in King Jesus, we've got a righteous judge, too. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. When we are on the receiving end of oppression and injustice, which sometimes we are, when things are not fair and right, what a blessing to know Jesus is King. He will make a righteous judgment for us. And of course, when he appears again, it's going to be plainly evident to one and all. Jesus will set everything right. Or think again about Jesus' identity as God. I mean, here too, we realize he is the divine gift we desperately need. As God, Jesus lives forever to bless us. Again, from the psalm, his name shall endure forever, and men shall be blessed in him. The risen and ascended Jesus is immortal, fully using his divine power for our blessing. Now, here's another way of thinking about this same reality. What if we didn't have a Savior who's God? What if we had to rely strictly on the help of human beings? Well, we sinners get ourselves into our own messes, but we surely can't get ourselves out of them. No mere man can help us. I mean, what mere man can take away the sin of the world? What mere man can overcome the power of death? But the man who's God, the one who's already conquered sin and death and lives forever, he can help us, and he does. And one of the ways that he helps us as true God is by his constant presence to hear our prayers. The psalm said that too. Prayer also shall be made on account of him continually, and daily he shall be praised. When we need help in any circumstance of trouble or danger or sorrow or any other need, Jesus, our God, stands ready to listen to our prayers and answer them for our good, ultimately for our everlasting salvation. And certainly when we remember Jesus as sacrifice, the one who was born to die and be buried for us and then rise again, we acknowledge and acclaim him as the true gift. For because he is God, his death actually saved us from sin and death. It was a worthy sacrifice to pay for the sins of the whole world such that we have everlasting life. Once again from the psalm, he will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Where would we be without our Redeemer? What would our lives be worth if Jesus had not saved our souls? Well, we'd live here for a little while, but we'd be doomed forever. But praise God, our blood truly is precious in his sight. Your life is of priceless value to your Savior. So he redeemed us at the monumental cost of his own life, given as a sacrifice on the cross, so we can live with him in glory. You know, Christians, all of these blessings we're talking about are among those unsearchable riches of Christ Paul mentioned in the reading from Ephesians 3. These are costly prizes Jesus presents to us from his divine treasure chest. Precious gospel gems and pearls that we, Gentiles and co-heirs with the wise men, are privileged to have declared to us and delivered to us in Jesus Christ. Now you think about this for a little bit and you realize those wise men came on a journey from the east and they brought the Lord Jesus some expensive gifts. But they returned to their own country with something much more valuable, didn't they? They had met their true King and God, the Savior of the nations. They knew him and worshiped him. And Christians, we've been blessed in the same way. Just like the wise men, we know Jesus as King and God and sacrifice. We worship him and love him, for we have in him the true and most precious gift of all. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. as we pray for God's people this morning, we remember Larry Massa, who's hospitalized in Urbana, Dawn Braden at Methodist Hospital, and Dale Emke at Proctor Hospital. We pray responsibly, adding to each petition, hear our prayer. We rise. We come to you, O Holy Father, with thanksgiving and great joy through Jesus Christ, the true gift, our King and God and sacrifice. Through him, we implore you to accept and bless the prayers and offerings we bring, even as you were pleased with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh offered to your Son by the wise men of old. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, O Lord, your holy church. Watch over us and guide us. Grant us peace and unity throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, O Lord, our Synod President, Matthew Harrison, our district presidents, and all pastors, teachers, deaconesses, and other servants of the church. Grant them to hold and to teach the faith that comes to us from the holy prophets and apostles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, O Lord, our president, our public servants, and all who are in the armed forces. Guide, bless, protect, and uphold them in honor. Bring all nations into the ways of peace and justice. In your kindness and love, grant us seasonable weather and an abundance of the fruits of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, O Lord, those who are suffering for your name, those who are in prison, the hungry and ill-clad, the poor and the lonely, those who are traveling, and all who cry to you in their time of need, and those who are afflicted bodily, including Larry, Dawn, and Dale, as well as Aaron, Sonny, Janet, Dick, Stacy, Tom, Christy, Mike, Emily, Cheryl, Bernice, and Dave. Take each hurting heart under your tender care and grant them your peace and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray you, grant all who approach your holy altar this day grace to receive worthily the sacramental mystery, the New Testament of our divine Redeemer. He truly is the Lamb of God who gave himself once and for all as a holy, spotless, and perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of all of our sin and for the life and salvation of the whole world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All this we pray in the saving name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith toward thee, and fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Everybody this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus on yet again another not so nice day. We're thankful to God that everybody's here safely today. Several announcements we want to make. Bible class this morning. Thank you for that affirmation, Rachel. We're going to start viewing the film Martin Luther, The Idea That Changed the World. It'll take us a couple of weeks, so we'll just watch however much we have time for this morning, finish it next time, presuming that we have time, and then whatever discussion we'll do the following week after that. Some of you may have seen this already. It came out on PBS in the fall and then was viewed just very limited in some local theaters. Anybody who's seen it so far has said it's good. So if you'd like to watch that film, get in on that. And then Wednesday evening, we're starting up a video study that has five segments to it, each relatively brief. It's called How We Got the Bible. And so this talks about, to some degree, the source of Old Testament, New Testament scriptures, and then spend some time kind of defending the authenticity of the Bible. It's pretty interesting. A good discussion guide with it, and then I will be supplementing it with other scriptures and other sources too. So if you're interested in that topic, come down and we'll get started on that Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the regular classroom underneath there. Installation of new church officers is next Sunday at the 10:30 service. So if you're newly elected to a first term, please be here for that. If you're continuing on in another term in the same office, you don't need to be installed again. You're already installed. Also, a voters meeting is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And we are again looking for sponsors to continue our radio broadcast on WVEL. We're coming up on toward the end of that first 6 months. Again, they are $175 per week. If you would like to support one of those or a portion of one or more than one, please contact Debbie Dant. What we're trying to do is not have this radio broadcast be a burden on the regular budget. So the idea is that we can support this with special gifts above and beyond our regular offerings. So if that's possible, we'd like to keep doing it. We don't know what all happens when people listen, other than the promise that God's word works and blesses people. And then offering envelopes. They're still on the tables in the gym. If you haven't been down there, pick yours up. And if you can't find one with your name on it, just tell Sandy and she'll easily put a label on it and get one for you.